Arab officials in New York are pushing for a UN resolution to force the Syrian president to resign. Russia has made it clear it will not support the move. So what lies ahead for an Arab nation struggling with months of violence? Will President Assad inevitably fall, as the US spy chief has said, or can the government overcome this crisis without foreign intervention? You're watching another edition of News Analysis.
A Syrian army tank is blown up as fighting between government forces and armed gangs intensify near the capital, Damascus. The state television has quoted unnamed Interior Ministry sources as saying security forces have cleansed Damascus suburbs from terrorists. Activists say members of the so-called Free Syrian Army retreated from the areas close to Damascus after the army operation. Meantime, members of the UN Security Council are set to meet in New York to discuss a draft resolution proposed by Western countries, including France and Britain. The resolution endorses an Arab League proposal which calls on Syrian President Bashar al-Assad to step down and pave the way for elections. Moscow has voiced a strong opposition to the draft resolution and has threatened to veto it.
If the Syrian opposition refuses to sit at the negotiating table with the regime, what is the alternative? To force the regime? If they demand Bashar al-Assad step down and he doesn't, then what? To send in the aircraft to bomb Syria? We've been through that before. The Security Council will never approve that, I guarantee you.
Last October, Russia and China vetoed a Security Council resolution which called for imposing sanctions on Damascus.
I think that the position on Syria is, nevertheless, connected to the fact that the Russian leadership is not sure the steps and measures undertaken by Western countries and the Arab League will stop the spread of instability. The ways they have proposed are absolutely not guaranteed to be successful.
The Qatari Prime Minister and the Arab League President are set to discuss increasing pressure on Syria at the UN Security Council. Damascus says Qatar is playing into the hands of the US by sponsoring an anti-Syria campaign.
You have to remember that half of Qatar is occupied by the American military bases. So we are talking about a country which is not sovereign fully. We think that Qatar is fulfilling instructions coming from outside.
Many experts believe the division among world powers is likely to become even wider at the Security Council. What's for sure is that the representatives of Western governments are going to have a tough time convincing other members that interfering in the internal affairs of a sovereign nation can restore peace and stability in that country.
Well, joining me now live from Moscow is Mr. Viktor Nadyn-Raevsky with the Institute of World Economy and International Relations. Also with us live from Washington, Mr. Paul Wolf, an international lawyer, and in Beirut for us, Ms. Neda Hashwi, political analyst. Thank you very much for being with us on this edition of News Analysis. I'd like to put my first question to Mr. Paul Wolf in Washington. Mr. Wolf, how do you assess, first of all, the UN draft resolution on Syria? Do you think it is going to be in any way constructive?
Thanks for having me on. No, I don't think it will be constructive. I think what we're going to see is a repeat of what happened in Libya. And the UN resolution is only a mechanism to attract support for that idea. I think that the role of the United Nations is as a peacemaking and peacekeeping organization. And just this week, we heard Secretary General Ban Ki-moon calling for regime change. Now, regime change is not something that the United Nations is supposed to be engaging in or supporting. And I think if there were going to be a resolution condemning anything, it would be the arming, training, and support of these rebels in Syria. And that's clear intervention. There are very credible reports that arms are entering Syria from both Jordan and from Turkey, and that there are special forces trainers from the United States, from England, and from Britain that are training the Libyan rebels, and certainly Syrian rebels. And certainly the Syrian rebels are able to cross those borders to escape the Syrian forces. That's a clear case of intervention in Syrian internal affairs.
Right.
So that is, first of all, the kind of thing that should be condemned by the United Nations, and the United Nations should not be calling for regime change.
Well, Nada Hashmi in Beirut, let's have your opinion on this as well. When we're looking at the UN proposal, it includes the proposal for President Assad to step down. Now, Russia has come and said that it's not agreeing with this, and it's been saying that both the government and the opposition should be able to engage in dialogue and that both sides should come up and say what mistakes they made. So why do you think there's this insistence in the UN for President Assad to resign?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. Second, it's they're asking for Mr. Assad's change of regime. They're asking him. First of all, they were asking for him to change and to reform. Basically, what they're really from President Assad is to get step down, not to change a regime in any way. Is to change his stances and to change his standing besides all the resistance, whether it's in Palestine or in Lebanon. Now, first of all, like the gentleman in the Washington said, the UN position here is not for a regime change in any way. It's to actually stands beside any country that actually faces any kind of terrorism. And what Syria is facing right now is a case of a huge terrorist. And what's happening with the rebels in Syria, they're killing people left and right. And in any country in the world, I think, and the UN, they clearly know that when a country faces terrorism in its own grounds,
right,
they have to deal with it in any way possible. And this is exactly what's happening in Syria. But because the conspiracy and what's happening in Syria right now, it's making them change all their stances and making them putting it towards President Assad.
Right. Let's look at the alternative views that exist right now in the case of Syria. And I'd like to go to Moscow now. Mr. Raevsky, Russia has said that what Syria needs now maybe could be an international or some kind of impartial investigation into what's been happening in Syria before any decision is made. But then the question arises, is Syria right now in a situation to be able to do that, to be able to organize some kind of probe and allow an impartial probe to take place?
Well, that's for me the question.
Yes.
Well, to tell the truth, we have seen already, the cases when the international interference did nothing good for the countries. The Libya, of course, maybe they can call it a success for some industrialists who work with oil and so on, but it's not a success for the country that is now on the verge of ruining. When everywhere and everyone is fighting against everybody, that's something impossible. And you can guess what will happen in Syria. They have much more problems than in Libya. They are not so rich as the Libyan regime was. And of course, they have fewer opportunities, but they have a lot of problems, religious problems, first of all, Shia and Sunni, I mean Alevi by Shia. Well, of course, national problems, the Kurds, and so on, Kurdish population, again a problem, and a lot of other things that it's necessary to regulate. Yeah. But not to fight to solve them. But this variant we are speaking about now, the variant that is proposed by the Arab League, is not the way that will stop stop the fighting. Because it's necessary to stop both sides, not only Assad. It's necessary to stop the uprising army.
Right.
Well, it's necessary to stop the interference from Turkish and Jordanian side, from Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and so on. That's a problem. But it's the only real way just to stop fighting. It's necessary to make both sides begin the talks.
Right. Well, you referred there, Mr. Raevski, to the issue of foreign intervention and a reference you made to Libya. Let's go back to Washington now. Mr. Paul Wolf, do you think that there is going to be some kind of foreign intervention in Syria? In other words, do you think that the solution now put forward by the Arab League and the West is more in style of the Yemen solution, for instance, for Assad to step down, for his deputy to come to power, and for things to move on from there? Or do you think that this is a prelude to a foreign military intervention, perhaps?
Well, I would call what's already been going on a foreign military intervention in the form of training and arming these rebels. I think it's clear that the Russians are going to veto any proposal to do anything more significant. And the Chinese haven't spoken, but they vetoed a similar proposal, as you reported, which was put into the UN Security Council last October. So I don't think we're going to see UN approval of this. The Turks have already stated that they're willing to engage in a ground war in Syria. And I think that came as quite a surprise to many people, because Turkey has always been an ally of Syria. And this must be seen in Syria as some kind of a betrayal, because Syria is defending the sovereignty of its government. We have to compare what's going on in Syria to Libya. It's not like Egypt, and it's not like Bahrain. It's not like the United States. These are not peaceful protesters who are being suppressed brutally by the army or the government. These are armed rebels. They have machine guns. They have RPGs. I've seen photographs of them. They look like military fighters. So it's certainly within the government of Syria's right to put down an armed uprising. And I think in terms of human rights, we can criticize the way they do it. And right. Any of these kind of situations are accompanied by brutality. But to tell Syrians that they can't put down an armed uprising in their country and to criticize the president for not stopping down and not to criticize the countries that are arming the rebels, to me, seems really hypocritical.
Right. Nida Hashri, I'd like to come to the role of the Arab League here now. Looking at what's been happening, we know that the Arab League made the decision, a crucial decision, to suspend its observer mission in Syria. First of all, why do you think that decision was made? And a lot has been also said about the role of Qatar here. We heard the Syrian official in that report saying that Qatar is in fact getting its instructions from outside. What's your view on this?
Well, first of all, their decision of having Syria out is basically for not to hear Syria's voice, the real voice of Syria, because as we see on many television stations, is the actual, not the truth at all. It's all made up. Like the gentleman said, we are seeing actually people with RPGs. We are seeing people that they're killing left and right. So basically, when the Arab League decided to get Syria out of there, is just so they don't hear the real truth about it. And one more thing I'd like to add about the UN resolution, if ever is going to happen, I think, in my opinion, Russia will never let this happen, not just because Russia is in love with Syria or anything like that, because it's actually is his last a true partner is in the Middle East, and especially in Tartus. And if they let this go, it's basically they're going to be next on the list. Russia's going to be next on the list, because what's happening right now is the Western countries, and especially with America leading the way, is going to have every single country divided so they can have their own territories and they can lead the world. And I think the next president, Mr. Putin, is not going to let this happen. Right. And he said that already in an interview, saying that this is not going to happen in any way possible. So I think what's going to happen, Russia's going to stand all the way behind Syria so they can know exactly what to expect in the near future.
Well, I'd just like to put again the question of the Arab League to our guest in Moscow and have his view on this as well. Mr. Raevski, what do you think the Arab League has been doing up until now? It sends an observer mission to Syria, then it suspends that observer mission, and despite the report that was given out, basically that report wasn't, rather practically nothing was done about it, but a decision was made to suspend that observer mission. And now, as I said, Qatar being accused of rather willing to do what the U.S. or its Western allies are telling it to do. So what do you think the Arab League has been doing in this case?
Well, I'm sorry that Arab League from the beginning just started, and I can agree with my colleagues, that that was not the right way to push Syria out of Arab League. It was not a good decision. It was, that was a mistake, of course. More than that, it was, of course, dictated by those who see in Syrian leadership the enemies, first of all, religious enemies. And we can see who are just the main leaders in this trend. Of course, the Saudi Arabia, of course, Qatar and others, predominantly the Sunni states. That's very important in the whole of collision. And besides, I'm sure that they'll try another thing just to stop anything, just even just to put away just the teams they were sent just to analyze the situation from the part of Arab League. They have stopped this mission already. And I'm afraid that some of them already do really help the uprising. So I'm afraid that this help will be more intensive, will be more intensive from the part of Arab League. So it's necessary just to speak both on Arab League as well, because this is a real force. What can be used by the international society just to stop and to influence on one of the parts? It's possible to influence on Assad, but it's necessary to influence on the uprising team. And that these forces are, of course, Saudi Arabia, of course, Qatar, of course, Turkey, maybe Jordan. It's necessary to stop both sides. Otherwise, it's impossible to stop the civil war. The civil war is on already. This is a problem already. And it's necessary to be as quick as possible.
Paul Wolf, speaking about the so-called civil war, as our guest in Moscow is saying, they're in Syria. You say that, of course, that the issue of sovereignty now for Syria is very important and that it should be respected by the international community. Now, we're looking at the situation in Syria. We know President Assad has introduced reforms and he's been saying that he's going to deal with the demands of the protesters. At the same time, that hasn't helped the violence stop. I mean, the violence has been intensifying. We've even been seeing attacks in Damascus. So basically, the question is, can the Syrian government at this point in time contain this violence? How can this violence stop? How can this crisis end? And without, of course, international intervention, Mr. Wolf.
Well, I think sometimes it is appropriate for the international community, and by that I would mean the United Nations, to intervene in a conflict. I don't think that the case has been made here. I don't think that arming the rebels is equivalent to an international intervention to stop the violence. Arming the rebels actually increases the violence. And, you know, we can judge the government of Syria and we can say that they're not introducing reforms, it's not a good government, they should have an election and so on. But at some level, Syria is a sovereign government. And we also have to respect the processes that exist in the United Nations to deal with problems like this. The problem of democracy is not contained to Syria. Look at Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia is providing the arms for the Syrian rebels, and Saudi Arabia is not a democracy either. So I don't think that it's really justified to say we need to militarily intervene because we need to bring democracy to one of these countries. So we do have some responsibility as an international community that innocent people are not killed. And we hear the phrase responsibility to protect all the time. It's a very old concept, the concept of a just war. But I think we have to remember that these are not civilians. These are armed people, and this is a civil war. And in a civil war, you're either intervening or you're not. And we don't have the grounds to intervene in this civil war. And it's not the United Nations that's intervening. It's several countries. It's Saudi Arabia, it's the United States, it's England, it's France, and Qatar also. And I don't think that there's any legal grounds for doing that. And I'm not sure that there's a moral ground for doing it, because the way that they're intervening is increasing the violence, not decreasing the violence. So as your guest from Moscow said, I think that this has to be brought to a negotiating position. If the international community through the United Nations is going to participate or influence the situation, it should be by negotiating with the two sides or helping the Syrian government to disarm the rebels or to resolve the situation in some way that's more akin to a police action. And what's happening now is simply that we have a few countries trying to overthrow the Syrian government.
Right.
That shouldn't be condoned.
Well, the U.S. spy chief, Neda Hashmi, if I can put this question to you. The U.S. spy chief has said recently that Assad's regime will inevitably collapse. It's just a matter of time. So basically, he's suggesting that the West, what the West can do is to expedite the process of Assad's fall to protect the people or the people's lives, in his words. So basically, first of all, do you agree with that assessment that President Assad's regime is doomed?
Yeah, well, first of all, who is he to say something like this? That's one thing. It's for its own people to decide whether President Assad should stay in the head of the regime or not. That's one thing. And then we've been hearing this since the beginning of the Syria situation, and we still see that Mr. President Assad is still where he is, trying to do any kind of reforms possible. But let's face it, you know, this is not an act of changing of any reforms or anything. They don't want any regime changes. They just want him out of the head of states, first of all. And for me, I'm sorry, I didn't hear the gentleman in Washington because I had the line cut out. But I would like to say one thing about how I think Mr. President Assad should deal with the violence in Syria. First of all, I think he should deal with it like it is an act of terrorism. And we all know that any country, that any kind of terrorism that happens in its country, they should deal with it with an arm. A metal fist, so to speak. So in other word, he needs to use any way possible to get rid of those rebels, any way possible to see a peace among the whole country again.
Right.
We cannot listen to anybody from any foreign country what should happen in Syria. We have to listen to its own people. We see the majority of his people still wants him as a president.
Well,
we all know.
Neda Hashmi, if I could just stop you there, if I may, because we're running out of time, and I'd just like to give the last comments to Mr. Raevski here. Mr. Raevski, if you could tell us in less than a minute, what do you think is going to happen if Russia does veto that proposal? What will the UN's role be, and where will a serious case be headed?
Well, I think that the position of Russian government will be just in the same field. Russian government will not help any possibility for military intervention, first of all. Secondly, of course, everything we can do, we'll try to do just to speak to opposition ourselves as well. And we try to do this. They just refuse to come. They said they have received nothing and so on, but that's very difficult to speak to this opposition because there are some peaceful trends in opposition. And of course, there are the rebels. The rebels, that they do not want to speak. They want to fight. That's another thing.
Right.
But of course, everything is possible to do from our side just to calm the situation, just to speak to both sides,
right,
to give them opportunity to solve the problem themselves. We'll do this.
Thank you very much. In Moscow, Mr. Viktor Nadin-Raevsky with the Institute of World Economy and International Relations. A big thank you as well to Mr. Paul Wolf in Washington, international lawyer, and in Beirut, Neda Hashmi, political analyst. I'm afraid we've run out of time. From me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.